because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. It is hump day, Wednesday. All right. Anyway, let's check out some temperatures around the western half of the state. 77 degrees at Hollis, 80 at Grandfield and Altus. You are the hot spots in western Oklahoma, not eastern Oklahoma. 75 at Butler, 72 at Woodward, 71 and 72 up around the, Alva area. Alva in that area. Out in the Panhandle, it's in the 60s. 61 at Goodlett, 65 at, I lost my train of Hooker. Yeah, I knew where I was going. Hooker. Hooker 65, 69 at Slap Out, and 69 at Beaver. Wow. And talking about a lot of rainfall. Roger Mills County on up north, Ellis up in that area, they all got some really good showers last night and this morning. But man, those poor people out there in Texas and Cimarron County and parts of Beaver County, they got way more than their fair share, 7-8 inches around Goodwell and Goodwell and Guymon. So anyway, hopefully everybody keep your fingers crossed. Not a lot of damage done, but that's a lot of rain. That old cloud just hailed there last night, big time. Lot in the Panhandle of Texas, 73 at Lipscomb, 69 at McLean, 73 at Wellington. Childress, you're 73. And there we go, 80 at Odell. So anyway, let's check out the Mesonet for rainfall total amounts. Buffalo, 2.2 inches. May Ranch, 1.5 inches. Freedom, 1.75 inches. Alva, 1.8. Arnett, 1.04. Camargo, you got almost 1 inch. And then Cheyenne, 0.6 inches here in northern Beckham County. Just shower, 1, 2, 3 tenths. And Butler, you even got about 0.34 inches. 0.34 of an inch. 7.66 inches at Goodwell, 7.18 inches at Hooker, 5.79 inches at Beaver, 2.42 inches at Boise City. I really ain't figured out the West Texas Mesonet trying to get rain total amounts. Spoiled rotten with the Oklahoma Mesonet. But anyway, we'll figure it out here later on. I think Palladora Reservoir got 5 inches, somewhere in there. Anyway, a lot of rainfall up there. So anyway, that'll hold some wheat harvest up in northwestern Oklahoma, and they're getting rain in southern Kansas too. So that'll, a tight ground up there, it'll take a few days for it to dry out. Okay, let's see what else is going on here. I got some, I'm going to start all over and do my horse hay deal coming up pretty shortly. But I'm going to go ahead and change it up a little bit today. I'm going to go ahead and do, I said I was going to do, where to go. Anyway, hang on here a second. Me and the computer just not seeing eye to eye today. Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and do the Lipscomb's Dealerships Ag Market Update for now. July corn, 450, up 6.25. September's 455, up 5.75. Soybeans for July, 1174, up 16.25. August is 1156, up 10. Soybean meal, July, 364.60, up 430. August is 350.90, up 270. Soybean oil, July, 44.30 up 57. August is 44.50 up 56. Hard red winter wheat, just the opposite of the rest of the grains, is down. July wheat, 6 even, down 4 and 3 quarters. September, 6.09, down 5 and 3 quarters. Cotton, easing back up. July cotton, 71.03, up 109. West Texas intermediate crude oil. July is 81.43, down 14. And natural gas is down to 289 for July. And then let's see, looks like the Dow's in the red and the S&P and the NASDAQ are all trading a little bit in the black, not much. June, live cattle, 186.67, down 37. August is 182.10, down 70. October, 183.87, down 75. Feeder cattle, August, 259.95. down 137, September 261.12, down 145, and October's 261.97, down 132. Lean hogs are in the red, July 93.77, down $1.60, August is 91.57, down 30. Before I go to my first break, I wanted to share this with you. You guys all, I got to spell the name right first. Anyway, I seen this on Trent Britton's Facebook page. Anyway, Lake Wimberley was in a bad accident over the weekend, and they're having a benefit that will help alleviate some of the long-term recovery cost, and they're putting on a raffle for him. His dad, you know, Carl, who's the mail carrier here in Elk City and also has cattle out south of town here, a real good friend of mine and a real good person. He's 7 foot tall, but other than that, he's pretty normal. But anyway, they're having this raffle to help raise some funds, and it's for a Diamondback DB15 5.56 with a sixteen-inch threaded barrel and stuff. The tickets are raffle tickets are $20. And you can go by TTS's yard, any of the yards, or any CUD location, plus Jerry's Glass here in Elk City to buy some tickets. Or if you got you want to call this number, it's 580-225-5252 to buy some raffle tickets. It would be dearly appreciated. He's a good kid. I think I don't know if he worked for TTS or CUD. It's all the same company. I think he worked for CUD. But anyway, it was in a bad accident, and he's in Oklahoma City, and sending prayers out for him and thinking about him a lot. I've been thinking about him a lot since Saturday after the wreck. But anyway, if you guys can, buy some raffle tickets to help out, alleviate some of the costs that's going to be coming with this bad accident. It'd be dearly appreciated. Like I said, you can go to any of the TTS yards here in Elk City, any CUD location, or Jerry's Glass here in Elk City to buy raffles, and it'd be dearly appreciated if you did. Like I said, $20 a piece for that rifle. So anyway, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour, and we'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up later on in the show. So let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed, at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see if I can get over to where I'm supposed to be. There we go. I picked the big city of Lipscomb, Texas for your ag weather update. 74 degrees, humidity is 68. Dew point 63. The winds are out of the southeast at 18 to 21 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 41 miles an hour. Month to date precipitation is 2.31 inches of rain. I guess they got a pretty nice shower last night. 8-inch soil temperature, 79 degrees. And that is your ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. All right. Let's check out what happened at Beaver yesterday at the sale barn there. 4,046 head were sold. Looks like bred heifers, they had just 5 head, but they brought 196.28, basically $1,700 a head. And let's see here, we got bulls, big bulls, 29 head, average weight 1565, average price 153.23, average price per head $3 short of $2,400 a head. Bull calves were, they had 69 bull calves, average weight 560, 259.07, brought 1450 a head. And cows, quite a few of those. Let me wrote down here, 293 cows to be exact. Average weight 1141, average price 142.66, average price per head 1628.42 per head. Heifer calves, they had 229 head of heifer calves, average weight 430, average price $298.90, $1,285 and a nickel per head. The yearling heifers were quite a few of those, 1,246 head, average weight 741, average price $241.91, $7 shy of $18 a head, $1,800 a head, not $18 a head, $1,800 a head. And then we had some pairs, had 27 pairs, average weight 1,066, 274.32 per hundred weight, basically $2,924.07 per head. Steer calves, they had 244 steer calves, average weight 469, average price 325, average per head $1,526.53. Yearling steers, they had a bunch of those. 1,873 head, average weight 938 pounds per head, average price $235.83, average per head $2,212.88 per head. And that was what was going on out there, up there at the Beaver Stockyards yesterday. I don't think the rain came until after that, so hopefully everything's good there. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Anyway, I noticed the Red Angus is really, really becoming popular. It's been popular, but it's coming really, really popular more and more. But the Red Angus Association is working to utilize more gene editing applications to promote herd health. And here is a small brief from Tom Brink, CEO of the Red Angus Association. And he's going to share how the Red Angus is shaping their future. So hang on here one second.
The Red Angus Association is working to utilize more gene editing applications to promote herd health. Tom Brink, CEO of the Red Angus Association, says they've already moved forward with some applications for gene-edited animals within the breed registry.
A lot of us are trying to figure out exactly what is the right way to handle this new technology and to potentially bring some of those animals into our database. We have decided at Red Angus that we're going to look at this new technology basically one gene edit at a time, and each one will be evaluated on its individual merit. Right now we have approved two gene edits within the Red Angus registry, and that would be for the slick gene, which is naturally occurring, and also the black to red gene edit, which is certainly naturally occurring as well. And so we have some of those animals, a very small number, but we have some of those in our registry already.
There will be more applications as the technology improves.
We will look at any additional edits one at a time. We will catalog those and identify them individually, and so they will be identified with a unique identifier in the database, but that's where we are. And I'm sure there will be others that come along. I mean, the technology is moving. The regulatory side is something that we're all kind of watching closely, because that's going to influence how fast we can really utilize these animals.
The black to red gene edit can keep animals healthier when the temperature climbs.
We've actually done a study on that in the last few years, and we can show that there's about 11 degrees difference in surface temperature on a day when the sun is shining and it's, say, 80 degrees or above. It does make a substantial difference for the southern half of the U.S.
I'm Will Jordan for the Southeast AgNet.
All right. Thanks, sir, Mr. Will Jordan. Anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting, because I know lots of people are kind of integrating or switching over to Red Angus here in Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle. So anyway, yesterday was Hay Day Tuesdays, and I didn't get to do any hay reports as far as what I'm seeing here. Nothing major changing. It's just stagnant, I guess, if you want to call it. Just same numbers, but we're going to go over some of them. Alfalfa prices in Kansas is anywhere from premiums anywhere from 190 to 310. Both of those numbers are delivered good. Alfalfa 150 to 230. Missouri premium 200 to 350. 150 to 200 on good alfalfa. New Mexico 220 to 350 on premium alfalfa. Oklahoma 175 to 200. And 150 for good alfalfa. Texas is 300 delivered to 380. And then on good, 280 delivered to 300 delivered. And then, I think that was it. I think Texas and Missouri are actually in New Mexico all in the, they're the highest end right now with 300 max on some premium alfalfa. Because California used to be up there a lot, but I guess they've been getting rain and must be making abundance of alfalfa, because Their premium prices are only $140 to $240 and $180 to $220 on good, because there's a lot of big dairies out there in California. So I'm going to say the alfalfa prices have cheapened up a little bit because milk is not bringing a premium, and the dairy farmers can only afford to pay so much for hay. Grass hay prices in Kansas, $175 to $200 for premium per ton. Missouri's $225. Oklahoma, none available. What else we got here? Texas, $300 to $340 on premium grass hay, $160 to $300 on good. So in Texas, somewhere in Texas, a big state, they're paying basically the same for grass as they are alfalfa. So anyway, that leads us into another report. Alfalfa hay exports total 224,875 million metric tons in April, which was up nearly 42% year over year, according to the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Services. China led the charge for alfalfa hay exports at 91,485 metric tons, followed by Saudi and Japan with 46,000 metric tons and 34,000, respectively. All hay exports for April totaled 322,329 metric tons. Japan was by far the strongest export market at 84,535 metric tons, although the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and the Japanese yen remains very high. Canada was also a notable player with 11,800 metric tons, a nearly six-fold uptick in all hay imports year over year. So anyway, the hay market is... Anybody listening out there knows what good oat hay's worth? My landlord asked me this morning. I said I really didn't know. Hadn't heard of any oat hay being sold, but if you do know what it's bringing by the bale or by the ton, I'd appreciate a text from you at 580-225-9697 so I can pass that on. Also, I got, unless I have a major mechanical malfunction on my way over there and back, sweet corn will be at Steve's Diesel Service. I said Tosh's Diesel Service the other day, and I apologize. That's over at Sayre, but they're keying, I promise you. It's Steve Tosh. But anyway, Steve's Diesel Service right here, west of town, west of the O-Town Museum and west of Tractor Supply here. As you're driving west on 066, a.k.a. 3rd Street, there's a big old cottonwood tree. It hangs over in the bar ditch a little bit. You can't miss it. It's the biggest tree on that side of the road. I'll be sitting under there from 10 a.m., to 1 p.m. Sunday with corn, sacks of corn. I'm not going to be selling 2 ears and 3 ears. You're going to buy a sack of corn. These are big ears, so I'm going to guess there's going to be anywhere from 25 to 30, 35 ears of corn in each sack. So anyway, I'll be there. I'm sorry. I'm not holding any except for one gentleman out here on 34 Highway in Carter. The guy that I'm getting the corn from wants to make sure he gets 2 bags. And then I got 2 bags already paid for, so I'll be holding those 2 bags too. But anyway, I'm going to get quite a few bags, so brown sacks of it's what it is. And so you guys want some sweet corn? I'm just doing this because you guys want me to. I did. I spoiled people. I did it 2 or 3 years ago, and now everybody wants me to do it every year. So being a good Samaritan I am for fresh home vegetables, homegrown vegetables, I'm gonna go get you guys some 10 to 1 this Sunday at Steve's Diesel Service right here on the west side of Elk City. First come, first serve, and if I got any left at 1 o'clock, I'll head on over to Sayre. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, we'll have more news about agriculture. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You should be treated with dignity and respect. You should be able to do work that matters, and you ought to work with people who feel the same way. Canyon Oilfield Services is looking for you. They need Class A CDL drivers with transport, flatbed, and pneumatic experience. They're also hiring roustabouts. Excellent pay and full benefits will be yours. I'm telling you, opportunities abound here. Do you want to look at the person working beside you and know you can trust him? Do you want to spend your time with people who work hard, but who know that you're not just a number? You're a person created in the image of God. Canyon needs people like you to work at their Elk City, Fay, Durham, and Hinton locations. That's Hinton, Durham, Fay, and Elk City. Apply at Canyon's Elk City office. It's on Highway 6, a mile and a half south of the golf course. Or go online to canyonoilfield.com. You can even call 729-3297. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service.
For 20 years, Brandon and Jill Culver of Culver Electric have been your trusted name in residential and commercial electrical needs. Here's Brandon.
This is Brandon Culver with Culver Electric. On behalf of all the Culver Electric family, we want to say thank you to all of our many dedicated customers for relying on us to serve you for 20 years. We have grown in so many ways and in areas we never dreamed possible. None of this would have been possible without y'all. We value your trust and loyalty in the many ups and downs along the way to reaching this milestone. We will continue to give you the best quality service to all of Western Oklahoma. From all of us here at Culver Electric to all of you, thank you so much, and we look forward to the next 20 years.
Culver Electric. For all your residential and commercial electrical needs, give them a call 580-243-5846 or stop by 1823 West 20th Street in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Huh, that's crazy. I got a little story to tell you that just happened from a report up around Visalia. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update for beaver. I picked beaver because I wanted to see how much rain they've got. 69 degrees, feels like 69, dew point 64, humidity is at 86%. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 14 miles an hour. 24-hour rain total, 5.79 inches. 10-day rain total, 7.16 inch. I could use about 2 inches of that down here south on Merritt Road. Get some water in the ponds. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 82 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset at 9:04 Wednesday, today. Rain showers likely, 70% chance, 82 for a high. Gonna have to hurry to get up to 82 tonight. 30% chance of rain showers, thunderstorms, 65 degrees for a low. Tomorrow looks like a beautiful day, 87 degrees and partly sunny with southeast to south wind 6 to 10 miles an hour. Not too shabby after they dry up. There's a lot of sand up there, though. So, anyway, it shouldn't take long to where you can get around up there. Anyway, I just had a guy text me during the break. said that I won't tell you exactly what he texted me, but he had some buzzards almost get his baby calf that was just born. That's crazy. You know, and it's a red-headed buzzard, I ask, because the black-headed ones, you know, they got a lot of problems in eastern Oklahoma and southern Oklahoma with the black-headed buzzards. They're not scared to go after live baby calves. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Interesting. So, okay, let's see here. Let's go to the report that I started to talk about yesterday, if I can find it. Let me delete some of this stuff so I don't get confused. Where is my report? Bear with me a second here. There it is. Anyway, horses can eat and will eat treated hay, but that's the title. There are still those horse owners who think that hay treated with an organic acid preservative could have major health or performance effects on their animals. Products such as buffered propionic acid, or if I said that, propionic, or anyway, acid, some kind of acid, are sometimes used to prevent heating and molding in hay after it's harvested or stored. Typically, this is only done when the hay's harvest moisture is marginally above the optimal level for safe storage and helps limit the risk for mold growth. For hay that is excessively above a safe baling moisture, not even preservatives can save that crop. It easily causes a little bit of a fire, maybe. Generally, hay baled at 15% moisture or below is unlikely to mold. Ideal moisture varies by bale type and mass. Preservatives are the most economical and effective at preventing mold growth when applied to hay bale between 17 and 22% moisture. Research has shown that organic acids are effective for preserving hay when applied at recommended rates, and feeding treated hay to ruminant animals has never been an issue or raised any concerns. This isn't always the case for horses, but fortunately, research has also exists to help debunk or confirm the notion that feeding treated hay to horses is detrimental. Martinson, who is, I seen her name in here. She is a, with the University of Minnesota. She's an extension equine specialist, cites separate studies from Cornell University and the University of Illinois that showed horses preferred untreated hay over hay treated with an organic acid preservative when given a choice. However, horses readily consumed the treated hay when a choice was not given. Yeah, horses are picky. She points out that a horse's hindgut bacterial active actually produces whatever that word is, propionic. Is that how you say that? Propionic acid is a result of fermentation. From a performance standpoint, horse yearlings fed the preservative treated hay had similar intakes and weight gains during the research trial period compared to yearlings that ate untreated hay. Treated hay did not affect clinical measures of the yearling's well-being, which indicates that preservative does not negatively affect the horses. Although preservative treated hay might not be the horse's first meal choice, owners can be assured that feeding their equine animals treated hay is safe and common practice. Most haymakers would prefer not to use a preservative because it adds an expense. There you go. However, there are products that are sometimes needed when weather conditions are less than optimal to ensure safe storage and mold-free hay. And there you have it. Horses are picky. And I don't know which is pickier. Horses are their owners. Anyway, did you guys hear that? It was on social media. This guy texted me about it this morning, but when I got here at the office, one of my coworkers, she had heard about it. So anyway, yesterday there was a gentleman going back to Texas because he had been at the horse show at Oklahoma City this weekend. And he stopped at Charleston's in Norman to eat with his daughter. And he had a horse with him, a Palomino. And then he went to the OKC Embassy Suites to get his luggage. His horse was stolen during, this was the first report, okay? His horse was stolen during one of the two stops. He proceeded to Wattsboro, Texas to check on an arena construction and just called me to report that the gelding was gone out of his trailer. So they contacted the Norman, Oklahoma Police Department, Oklahoma City is in this, on this Facebook page, a post, it says Oklahoma City PD won't take a report until Norman PD eliminates their jurisdiction. Oklahoma livestock agents had been reached, and we hope the attention will get their Gunther back home. Pretty good looking horse. Well, anyway, guess what? It ended up being a little bit of a miscue. And as my buddy says, as Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, it's recovered. The horse is recovered. He said, when my husband, she didn't name him, stopped to check on the arena construction on a job site, a well-meaning employee of the farm saw the Palomino in the trailer. He assumed it was the one they were expecting. And yes, they were expecting a delivery of a Palomino horse, but it wasn't this one. So he just assumed that was it. So he got it out of the trailer, the trainer's, he got it out of the trailer and went and put it in one of the horse stalls. And then I guess the trainer at this horse farm seen the post that I just read to you and realized, whoops, we got your horse. So anyway, it was a good ending. Nobody stole the horse, because there's nothing worse than a cow thief or a horse thief to go along with it. But anyway, a lot to that story. I mean, a lot more to that story. Anyway, an excellent steak leaves a tasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience so good it can still be remembered years later. And the smell. Everybody loves the smell of a good steak. Whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience it for the first time, the Taylor Ranch can help out with that. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics that enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal that's going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third party verified, all natural and hormone free, also available. Well, hadn't heard from Tyrone in a while, so hey, bear with me here. I got to reach across here, and there we go. Wrong one. There we go. This is on the crop loan rates announced for peanuts. Bear with me a second here. We'll get this started and hear what Tyrone Spearman has to say.
It's time for Farm and Ranch headlines on the Southeast AgNet. I'm Tyrone Spearman reporting. USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation announced the 2024 crop loan rates for the four types of peanuts being produced in the U.S. The rates take effect August 1st in the beginning of the peanut crop year. Eligible producers can obtain peanut loans through the local FSA office or alternate delivery partners such as the Designated Marketing Associations, called the DMAs, or Cooperative Marketing Association, the CMA. These loans provide producers with interim financing on their production and facilitate the orderly distribution of loan-eligible peanuts throughout the year. The 2018 Farm Bill established the national loan rate for peanuts at $355 per ton. CCC calculated the price support levels for each peanut type using the same method as they did last year. The 2024 crop loan rate was calculated using the national loan rate and a five-year average quality factors, along with a three-year simplified average weighted production. For an average grade of peanuts, for our runner type peanuts, $354.33 per ton, and a loan for Spanish, $344.88, and Valencia's $360.21 per ton, and Virginia's $360.21. Loan rates are now available starting August 1st. I'm Tyron.
There you go. loan rates for the peanut crop. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, I'll finish up the show. And I got all kinds of stuff up here I want to talk about. I just don't know how much time I got. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June the 14th. 1,435 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 475 brought 315. 4 at 546 brought 298. 4 at 720 brought 264. 8 at 753 brought 257. 3 at 955 brought 228. 4 at 966 brought 225. 4 head of heifers at 278 brought 335. 8 at 424 brought 290. 5 at 544 brought 286. 7 at 654 brought 253, 20 at 807 brought 218, 13 at 845 brought 221, butcher cows were 62 to 152, butcher bulls brought 120 to 178, bred cows were 1300 to 2500, pairs brought 900 to 2775, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what's happening with your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather forecast. Let's go with Hobart. I hadn't did Hobart in quite a while. And let me refresh it, make sure it's right. Yep, 79 degrees at Hobart, dew point 67, humidity 67. Winds are out of the east, southeast at 5. 10-day rain total, 7 one-hundredths, or 71 thousandths, as they say in Roger Mills County. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86 degrees. Sunset at 8:53, 90 for high today, 70 for low tonight. Tomorrow, 87, with southeast wind 6 to 12 miles an hour. So I had a question come up on the text line, and I'll share it with you. Question, why do they windrow the rye and harvest it later. I actually haven't seen that done in a while, and I've sent out a text to three of my rye experts, and I'll find you an answer. If you got an answer and you want to, or if you have something you want to share with us that you know this, I don't know. I can't remember. I know why they do alfalfa, but I don't know about the rye deal. I really don't. It's been a while since I've seen that done. So anyway, we'll get you an answer to your question. So if anybody's got an answer to this question, I'd appreciate it. 580-225-9697. Why did they windrow the rye and harvest it later? I don't know if they cut it green, let it lay there, and come back through there. I don't think it makes any difference if they're saving it for seed weed or whatever, because everybody I've seen has been combining it like normal. And anyway, speaking of combines, I had a really cool deal. The last move in the common combine. Equipment size and horsepower have grown fast over the years, and nowhere is there more true than in the combines. For the past 2 years, the Class 8 combine has dominated the auction markets and is now the most common combine in, the most common combine sold at an auction in retail for that matter. Currently on TractorHouse.com, there are 11,260 listed for sale, and about 35% of the market is made up of used Class 8 combines. This is the guy who wrote this story. He said, when I started selling equipment in 2006, Class 5 and Class 6 combines were starting to steal the spotlight. Then Class 7 slowly gained in popularity. The ideal of a 40-foot platform head increased field efficiency and speed of harvest. Class 8 and 9 were also available, but didn't have the same buzz as Class 7. As the dial slowly turned towards the Class 7 combine, I was unsure how much more could be improved and how much bigger they could get. The popularity of the Class 7 combine started to decline in 2012, paving the way for the Class 8 combine. 16-row corn heads, 45-foot platform heads become the top choices for producers. The goal of achieving more and less time remained, and manufacturers provided real options for combine buyers. It wasn't just about horsepower and a bigger tank. Manufacturers offered differences between classes that reduce field time and increase efficiencies. Class 8 combine has been the most popular choice for the past 10 years and seems like likely to maintain its position for the foreseeable future. On his podcast, him and Aaron Fintel discussed how the Class 10 and 11 combines fit into the picture and will have their day in the sun. The next logical progression for a market boom will be the Class 9 combine. I'm getting confused now, but I think the market will stall at Class 8. The leap from 8 to 9 isn't going to happen because if you're looking at a Class 9, you're also looking at a Class 10. You guys with me on that one? Anyway, the leap from Class 8 to Class 9 combine is hard to justify. The size of the combine makes transport tough when roading or moving with a truck. The thrashing area isn't really large enough to create an imbalance in the pros and cons checklist. A significant difference in machine capacity isn't realized until the Class 10 combines enters the conversation. The other argument is that if you have two Class 8 combines, you could consolidate them into one Class 10 or 11 because the support equipment and labor are already in place. The operation will still need the same number of trucks, grain carts, tractors, and operators. The only labor loss will be one fewer combine driver. Nothing else changes. Two combines running allows the operation to divide and conquer or focus on one area. If the weather isn't favorable, the operation will have options that they might not have with one bigger combine. And I look at it, you got two combines running. If one breaks down, you're not totally down. Transporting a Class 10 or 11 combine is also more difficult. And the issue is the size and weight of the bigger combines, which are proving to be more challenging to haul on a trailer or road between fields. Trucking guidelines and infrastructure limitations are issues that will only become more difficult. Let's see here. He said, I surveyed the, as he surveys the combine landscape, I see the Class 8 continue to dominate as the most sold combine. The Class 10 or 11 combine might find a place in scenarios where a producer is downsizing from four or more combines to three, but even then, what is the operation truly gaining? The labor requirements decrease, but everything else remains the same. The real wild card is the impact of farming, autonomous farming, I guess, on combines. The question is yet to be answered and holds the potential to take the industry by the toes. How's that? There you go. So that's in deal. Well, I got an answer on one of the questions I had there. I used to, and some still do, around Dover. It's to get it down, to dry down quicker and storm damage. You lay it down in stiff dough. It will finish grain and be dry about 5 or 6 days. Once it's in a windrow, nothing much happened to it. So that's one question. Answer, they are windrowing south of, he said they're windrowing south of Weatherford and around corn. Thanks for putting the question on air. Brian must be doing something because there's something missing in there. But anyway, I guess it's just mainly because of storm damage. You lay it down in stiff dough stage, and it will finish grain and be dry about 5 or 6 days once it's in windrow. There you go. That's why they do it. One of the deals there. All right, let's see here. What time is it? All right, let me get the do. Oh, I want to discuss this with you because I know my neighbor down there on the river, Gary, he was listening that day last year when I was talking about using barbed wire and stays to put across water gaps, whether it's a creek or a river. Well, this come out pretty cool. Here's another water gap solution. And actually, this brainstorm come out of Oklahoma. It says, my wife and I live on a 120-acre cattle ranch in Oklahoma. Spring rains followed by dry summers result in gullies that are a problem in keeping cattle confined to the pastures where they belong. Spring rains wash down the gullies, carrying trees, branches, debris. Barbed wire fences across the gullies become choked with debris, and most of the time it wipes them out. So what he did was he linked 55-gallon, plastic 55-gallon, I got a picture of it, it's just those blue barrels, 55-gallon barrels together like beads on a necklace and strung them across the gullies and the creeks. And they got one picture in here where it's going across the river. Pretty cool. Anyway, they just made a hole through each end of the barrel, and the barrels have two threaded bung holes on each end. I secure the caps by using a dab of silicone. So you want to make sure everything's waterproof. You don't want water getting into the deals. He says, next, I drill a hole in the center of each end that is just large enough to fit a piece of 3/4-inch PVC pipe through. I buy 10-foot lengths of PVC pipe and cut them into 3 equal lengths of 3 foot, 4 inches long. He said, I slide the segment of pipe through the holes in the barrel so that 2 inches on each side, each end. I secure with a PVC coupler on each end and add a bead of silicone around each hole where the pipe comes through. I string the barrels end to end with a long piece of cable secured to a tree or anchored to a fence post. I string enough barrels to lie completely across the gap to block, and then I secure the other end to another tree on the post on the far side. I have used this system for 3 years. When the water rises, the barrels float and debris slides under them. When it's dry, the cows walk up to the blue barrels and raise their ears, but they don't attempt to step over or nudge them out of the way. How about that? That's pretty cool. I got 2 barrels. I guess I could try it down there on the river. But what happens when the river goes dry? So anyway, I guess it'll still be there. So anyway, that's a really good idea. The stay deal, Gary's done some with the stays. It's working, looks great. But anyway, that's a smart idea. Are you listening, Donnie Walker? You got your little spread up there on the Washita River. You're always down there fixing that thing. So anyway, about time you changed your ways, old man. Let's see here. What else? I've made a total of 7 pounds of tomatoes now. in the last 8 days. I'm excited. I'm just telling you, these tomatoes look like they're on steroids, but anyway, they're getting good. But anyway, music's playing, and you've heard me long enough. I want everybody to have a great day. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
Actually kind of like it.
KEZO, Elk City.
Tomorrow,